Welcome to the Daily Tour, brought to you by the Fredcast Cycling Podcast. This almost daily summary of the 2007 Tour de France will be presented soon after the end of each day's racing, so that you can stay up to date on the world's most famous, and some would argue, most important annual cycling event. The Daily Tour is sponsored by Fredcast Tours. Fredcast Tours is the perfect companion to the Fredcast Cycling Podcast and this daily Tour de France summary. Our first tour begins in September 2007 in the French Alps, but we have many more tours in the planning stages for 2008 and beyond. Come along with us, take in the scenery, taste the local delicacies, become steeped in the cultures, but most of all, enjoy the ride. Visit www.fredcasttours.com for more information. And now, today's daily tour brought to you by the Fredcast. Well, it's July 20th, 2007, and it's time for Stage 12 of the 2007 Tour de France. Now, today's stage took the peloton from Montpellier to Castres in France, 178.5 kilometers. There were two intermediate sprints, three Category 4 climbs, and one Category 2 climb. That last climb, 48 kilometers from the finish line. Going into today's stage in the yellow jersey still, it's the chicken, Michael Rasmussen from Denmark and Team Rabobank. In the green, Tom Bonin from Belgium and Team Quickstep. In the white, Alberto Contador from Spain and Team Discovery. And in the polka dot jersey is Michael Rasmussen, our yellow jersey leader, also from Denmark and Team Rabobank. He's got 98 points, and just behind him is Juan Soler from Team Barlow World. And so because Rasmussen is wearing the yellow, Soler will be in the polka dot jersey for today's stage. Now, there were no withdrawals before today's race other than Dave Zabriskie, who we mentioned yesterday, arrived at the finish line outside the time limit. So the American from Team CSC is now out of the 2007 Tour de France. When the stage began this morning, it was a bit cooler than it's been the last couple of days. We started to get into some undulating territory with the Category 4 climbs and then the Category 2 at the end as we get ready to head into the Pyrenees in just a couple of days. Now, early in the stage, there was an attack led by Sylvain Chavanel and Fabian Wegman. They were reeled back in. Another one was also reeled back in. By the time they got to the top of the first climb, a Category 4 climb, this was at 27.5 kilometers into the stage, at the top, Gilbert from Française du Jou took first place King of the Mountains points, second, David Miller from Saunier Duval, and third went to Sherlinks from Cofidis. Now, at 57 kilometers into the stage, two riders broke away. They were Amets Chiruka from Euskaltel and Pierrick Fedrigo from Bouygues Telecom. The second Category 4 climb, the Côte du Masrouet, was at 58 kilometers, just a kilometer after the break. And of course, at the top, it was those two riders. In first, Chiruka, second, Fedrigo, and third, Garate from Quickstep. At 74.5 kilometers into the stage was the summit of the third Category 4 climb. First over the top was Fedrigo, then Chiruka, and then third went to their chaser, at this point, Marcus Burghardt from T-Mobile. Just 7 kilometers later, it was time for the first intermediate sprint of the day, and the order here was Fedrigo, Chiruka, and their chaser, Burghardt. Now, when there were just 85 kilometers to go in today's stage, and the break's lead was about 11.5 minutes, about 6:15 over Burghardt, Team Leekegaas decided that was it. It was time to start reeling them in. It was time to put the hammer down. And they did that. They went to the front of the peloton. Part of their motivation, besides reeling in the break, was to try to get Filippo Pozzato and Murilo Fischer up to the front of the peloton by the time they got to the finish line to try to give them a shot at the stage win. Now, the final sprint of the day occurred at 101 kilometers into the stage with just 77.5 kilometers to go. And this time, the points went to Fedrigo in first, Chiruka in second, and Burghardt in third. At this point in the day's racing, there were about 30 kilometers to go until the summit of the second category climb, the final climb of the day. The Leekegaas-led peloton had now dropped the lead to below 10 minutes, and Burghardt was about 5.5 minutes behind the two leaders. When they reached the top of the climb, Chiruca went over first and then Federigo. The gap was now down to 5 minutes and 19 seconds. And when the peloton came through, Yaroslav Popovich from Discovery charged ahead of the group to capture third place King of the Mountains points. By the time they reached just 15 kilometers to the finish, the lead had fallen to just under a minute and a half. It was at this point when Freddy Rodriguez went off the back of the peloton. Didn't necessarily look tired. I think he was just saving his energy for tomorrow's individual time trial. Now remember, here at 15 kilometers, it was about a minute and a half. By the time they reached La Flamme Rouge, they got caught. Literally just going under that red banner representing 1 kilometer to go in today's stage, the break was caught. It was unfortunate. Everybody, I think, was cheering for them and hoping that they would actually make it, but unfortunately they didn't. And at this point, it was time for the teams of the sprinters to get set up. And following a fantastic lead out by Quickstep's Geert Stegemans, the green jersey of Tom Bonin came across the line in first place, followed very closely by Eric Zabel right on his wheel, and in third place, yesterday's stage winner from Team Barlow World and South Africa, Robbie Hunter. So at the end of today's stage, the stage win went to Tom Bonin, second, Eric Zabel, third, Robert Hunter, in fourth, Daniela Bonatti from Team Lamprey, in fifth, Tor Husoft from Norway, in sixth, Bernhard Eisel from Austria and Team Mobile, in seventh, Sebastien Chavanel from Française du Jeu, in eighth, Nicolas Jalabert from France and Agritoubel, in ninth, Robert Forster from Germany and Team Gerolsteiner, and in 10th, Andrei Kachechkin from Kazakhstan and Team Astana. The top 10 in the general classification hasn't changed that much. Michael Rasmussen from Denmark is still sitting in first place in the yellow jersey. In second, Alejandro Valverde. He's 2 minutes and 35 seconds back. In third, Ibon Mayo from Sonier Duval, 2 minutes and 39 seconds back. Just 2 seconds behind Mayo, 2:41 behind Rasmussen, it's Cadel Evans from Australia and Predictor Lotto. In fifth, Alberto Contador from Spain and Team Discovery, 3 minutes and 8 seconds back. In sixth, Carlos Sastre from Spain and Team CSC, 3 minutes 39 seconds back. In seventh, with a fractured coccyx, it's Andreas Kloden from Germany and Team Astana, 3 minutes 50 seconds back. In eighth, the lone American in the group, Levi Leipheimer from Discovery, 3 minutes and 53 seconds back. In ninth, Kim Kirken from Luxembourg and T-Mobile, 5 minutes, 6 seconds. And rounding out our top 10, it's Mikel Astarloza from Spain and Euskaltel, 5 minutes and 20 seconds behind race leader Michael Rasmussen. Couple of other favorites that you might want to know about. Sitting in 13th place, Oscar Pereiro, last year's second place finisher overall in the Tour de France. He's 6 minutes and 36 seconds back. And ever the fighter and soldiering on, in 19th place, Alexander Vinokourov from Kazakhstan, Team Astana, 8 minutes and 5 seconds behind our yellow jersey leader, Michael Rasmussen. So in our jerseys, of course, you know who the yellow jersey is. It's Michael Rasmussen. In green, staying in green after a fabulous stage win, Tom Bonin from Belgium in Quickstep. He's got 195 points, but listen to the race behind him. In second place, Robert Hunter from Team Barlow World with 175 points. Again, that's just 20 points behind Tom Bonin. And in third, with 174 points, just 1 point separates Robert Hunter, and third place, Eric Zabel. Continuing in the white jersey, Alberto Contador from Discovery, and in the polka dot, still Michael Rasmussen, but since he's wearing the yellow with his 98 King of the Mountain points, sitting in the polka dot jersey at the beginning of tomorrow's individual time trial, Juan Soler with 89 points for that King of the Mountains jersey. Now, tomorrow's Stage 13 is an individual time trial. It's just 54 kilometers. It goes from the city of Albi to the city of Albi. In the middle, there's one Category 4 climb. Now, sitting in the yellow jersey is Michael Rasmussen. He is not known as a great time trial rider, but we don't know what will happen because you put that yellow jersey on your shoulders and your attitude changes. So we'll see what happens tomorrow in the individual time trial. I am not planning on doing a lot of live Twittering, at least at the beginning of the race. I'll come in a little bit toward the end because that is when the race leaders, the top 10 in the GC, will start out there on the course. So don't expect me to be up at the crack of dawn giving you those live Twitters, but you should look for somebody in that top 10 to have an awesome time trial and perhaps take a lot of time away from Michael Rasmussen unless Rasmussen has the ride of his life. And that we will find out in just under 24 hours. Just one note before we wrap up today's Daily Tour podcast. You know, for days, apparently, there were rumors circulating among the Peloton and the media there in France following the tour that a Rabobank rider had tested positive for doping. Now, since Michael Rasmussen is in the yellow jersey, he's being tested a bit more often than others. So those listening to these rumors focused on Rasmussen. Well, just prior to the start of today's stage, it was announced that it wasn't a positive doping test, but there was an administrative error on the part of Michael Rasmussen and that he's being penalized by the Danish Cycling Federation. As a matter of fact, they're not going to allow him to represent Denmark as they prepare for the upcoming Worlds and next year's Beijing Olympics. Essentially, he's been kicked off of Denmark's national cycling team. Here's the administrative error that he is accused of. In order to ensure that cyclists are tested frequently for doping, they're required to advise the UCI, the International Cycling Federation, of their whereabouts at any given time. So for instance, if you are supposed to be in Denmark, for instance, and instead you're off in Mexico and you don't let the authorities know, then you can be sanctioned for that because the whole point of letting the authorities know is so that they know where they can surprise you with a dope test at any given time. If you've read any books by any famous cyclist, for instance, if you read the Lance Armstrong books, you know that they just show up at any given time and they say, hey, it's time for you now to give your sample. And so in this case, Rasmussen failed to give that notice in a timely fashion. He was warned and now he's being sanctioned by the UCI and by the Danish Cycling Federation for those failures. Now, the problem here is that Rasmussen's wife is from Mexico, and so he frequently travels there to visit with her family. And as a result of his failure to report two times his whereabouts, he's getting a warning from the UCI. And this warning was given back in June. According to the UCI, a third no-show would be considered as a positive doping test. And I think you can understand that. The issue here isn't that they believe that he's doping, but the issue is if somebody wanted to dope and they wanted to get past the doping controls, then they could say, oh, I made an honest mistake. I'm sorry I didn't tell you where I was. You can just get me next time. And the more time that goes on, the more that they can get the drugs out of their system and then be able to bypass those tests. Nobody is saying that that's the case with Rasmussen here. Instead, right now, people are simply questioning the timing of this announcement, as well as the timing of the Sinkewitz announcement a few days ago. The theory is that there's a pattern of behavior of people trying to undermine the 2007 Tour de France. That's it for today's episode of the Daily Tour podcast. If you'd like to comment on the show, please send an email to thefredcast@gmail.com or send a voicemail to area code 206-203-FRED. Be sure to follow the frequent live updates of the day's racing via Twitter. The Twitter username is Daily Tour. There's no space between daily and tour. And you can sign up for these updates at twitter.com. That's twitter.com. And please check out our website at www.thefredcast.com. I'll see you all again tomorrow for another episode of the Daily Tour podcast brought to you by the Fredcast and Fredcast Tours. Thanks for listening.